You've got your Bibles. I want you to turn with me today to the book of Hebrews chapter 8. The book of Hebrews chapter 8. I want to mention something that I started 6 years ago here. And it needs to be re-spoken over and over as the Spirit of God quickened me to do so. You that are watching all over the world, Hebrews chapter 8 in the New Testament, that will help you and minister to you today by God's great power. As you're turning to Hebrews chapter 8, we'll start reading with verse 1. But before we do that, I am a man. I am disciplined in all the things that I do. I'm very committed to what I do. I'm an exerciser. So what I mean, I do about 15 miles a week. I do about 750 to 900 setups a week. I do curls. I am very committed. Even if I'm on the road or not, I usually eat the same things. Kathy gets a little irritated with me. Sometimes we go to a real nice restaurant and I order the same thing that I had the last time I was there. She said, why don't you try something different? Don't want to. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I like it. Glory to God. When I love the city of New Orleans. I live here in New Orleans. And if you that are watching all over the world, you want a good place to eat, Mr. B's is a wonderful place. If you like gumbo, I like the gumbo yaya. I eat it every time I go. In fact, I don't even order anymore when I go to Mr. B's. They know. My waiters are there. I have personal waiters. It's a blessing of the Lord. They're wonderful men. Chris may be watching. Hey, Chris. Glory to God. And Stephen. They just know automatically. They just come and put it there. Praise God. Can't say, you know, there's other things. I said, I know, but I like this. I hadn't changed shirts. Why should I change my gumbo? Come on, give me a hand clap. That's a revelation. A lot of men have changed their wives. I had Jane mine. I like mine. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Another great restaurant if you come to New Orleans. If you like Italian, it's Ristorante Filippo. I like that. I like the Super Filippo. That is good. Ooh, glory. And if you're a calamari person, it's the best in the city. Praise God. That's just some of the places I go. Commander's Palace. Ooh, Jesus. Go out on the courtyard. Hallelujah. And let them just bless you good. Bring your money. At the Palace Cafe, got wonderful bread pudding if you want, all that kind of stuff. All kinds of great things. Great buffet over there at the Wyndham Hotel on Sundays. That'll bless you. I mean, it's just great things. So I'm a very person that I do almost exactly the same thing every day. In other words, I am committed to what my lifestyle. I know what I do. And I will get up. Now, Kathy gets in the morning, she heads straight for the coffee pot or puts it on, then goes to the bathroom. That's how it works. I mean, it's been like that for 34 years. Go to that coffee pot, go to the bathroom. Glory to God. I get up, and what do I do? Praise God. First thing, I go to the bathroom first. Glory to God. I don't like coffee, so I don't. And then usually I put the news on. And I start upstairs and start doing my exercise and all that kind of stuff. And Kathy tells me to wait for her, but if I do that, it will never happen. Praise the Lord. But the Lord has given us a miracle in our house. She has now become committed to exercising. So that's a blessing. Give her a hand clap. She's doing good. Hallelujah. Problem is she goes to Krispy Kreme donuts after she finishes. And gets her another coffee and a donut. Glory to God. But when she wants to lose weight, she uses low-fat milk. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's a blessing, but I mean, I know what she's going to do. Hebrews chapter 8. Well, we got to find out what Jesus does. Title of this message today is A Day in the Life of Christ. A Day in the Life of Christ. Now, God is a very committed God. He does exactly what His Word says. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And as I've said many times in other sermons, you cannot separate God from His Word. And in totally honest, they cannot separate you from your Word. You and your Word should be one. If you're a liar, then what's happened is you're not what you say you are. See? So instead of just saying that you're a person, just say, I'm a liar. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. See what I'm saying? If you're lying all the time, well, bless God, and your people can't believe what you say, then you ought to introduce yourself. I am the best liar you ever saw in your life. Don't shout me down. If you're an adulterer, you ought to say that. I am an adulterer. Look at some of y'all. Oh, Lord, he should have stayed home. In other words, you are what you say you are. In other words, you cannot separate your word from you, and neither can God. And sad to say, so many preachers and so many ministries and so many, quote, religious organizations have tried to do that, and it will not. God will judge you according to His word. I'm the kind of man, I like to know what Jesus is doing. What is Jesus' day like? You know, if I know He doesn't sleep. He doesn't have to sleep. And the world's 24/7, so He's constantly working. What does He do? And I've spoken this, and I believe this will help you today. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. I'm reading out of the King James Version. Now, the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Verse 2. A minister, underline that in your Bible if you're taking notes, of the sanctuary, or of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Title of this message is A Day in the Life of Christ. So Jesus's primary job is to be a high priest. The word minister means high priest. He's a minister in the sanctuary, the holy things. What are holy things? Prayers that you pray. His number one job is he's simply a high priest. But that's not all he is. At about 10:30, he may change his job from a high priest to a mediator. There may be someone coming to say, I would like to know God or meet God. You may use God. Jesus may walk in that position this morning when an altar call is given. He is first a high priest, his very prime job. I want to do a little teaching this morning. And then he goes from that high priest. He ministers holy things to God. What you're saying, he will not minister foolish, stupid things. Now, I want to say something real quick. Well, let me get through the four jobs that he is. He is a mediator. He introduces the lost man to his father. I'm using this as an example to help you out. Let's say between 10:30 and 12 o'clock, he's mediating. Then about 1 o'clock, he goes from a high priest to a mediator to an intercessor. He ever lives to make intercession. Now, why would a Christian ever need intercession? Why would we ever need an intercessor if we are Christians? Are you Christians on Sunday or are you Christians 24/7? Why would you need an intercessor? Because at times we pray wrong things. So I would say about between 1 and 3 o'clock, Lord of God, he's an intercessor. I'm using that as an example to give you the style of jobs. And then his final job, he's an advocate and a lawyer. Or in other words, he pleads your case before the Most High. Now, why would you need a lawyer? Because if you go to court without a lawyer, you're a fool. And if a lawyer hires himself to be his own attorney, then he says he has a fool for a client. Why? Because you can only see one side. You have to have someone that can look at every facet of your life or every facet of the case so he can litigate and adjudicate the case. And then it will come to pass. So God's primary jobs is number one, he's a high priest, the top job. And then he goes into a mediator to introduce people to God. Then he goes into an intercessor because at times Christians walk in iniquity. Maybe not necessarily sin, but in iniquity. Then he puts on the robes of office of a lawyer or an advocate and pleads your case before the Most High when the accuser of the brethren, Satan, accuses you and tries to bring evidence against you. So I want to deal with that. But before I start with these four jobs, I heard someone on television the other day that I have to correct. I heard them say it, and I could not believe that they would allow that to be said about God Almighty. And a prophet was sitting by and agreed with it. And they said that God is an abuser. He abuses you, then he uses you. Wrong. Abusers go to jail. God is not an abuser. People don't know the difference between abuse and obedience. Sometimes God tells people to be a tither, they would call him an abuser. No, that's called obedience. That's not an abuse. So, I mean, if you heard that, for God's sake, man, Lord, never let no one in your presence ever say, if I'd have been there, I'd have stood up. God is not an abuser. He abuses you, then he uses you. Your problem is you only go by, the only thing you know about God is about what you feel instead of what you are. You see what I'm saying? And if anybody believes in shouting, screaming, and hollering, and blessing, and jumping, and falling, and all that kind of stuff, I do. I am a Holy Ghost man. You understand what I'm saying? But that does not keep me when I'm outside of church. Because when I'm outside of church, I'm not falling down, I'm not shouting, I'm not screaming. There's a world out there trying to stop me and a serial killer trying to kill me named Satan. I better have something in me. I better have some anointing in me. I better have some word level in me. I better have some faith in me. Lord Jesus, you understand what I'm saying? Because you can shout here, but what you do when no one's around you and you're out there and all of a sudden an 18-wheeler's coming at you and can't stop. What do you do? What happens when they're going to take your house or take your car or try to take your children? What happens if your husband leaves you and all of a sudden you're stuck with kids and you're a single parent? How do you make a living? Come on, ladies and gentlemen, somebody shout, somebody. That's what you need to know. You don't need to learn their system. Their system is a 30-year mortgage, paying them back 3 times the amount of money that you borrowed. What you need to learn is the system of God is to owe no man anything but to love him, to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, and blessed going in and blessed going out. Do you understand? That's what you need to know. And prosperity will teach you that and help you that. It's not a money message. It's an obedience message. Lord Jesus, here come the day. That's what you need to know. You see what I'm saying? Not what mama said. Thank God for mama. But the Bible said you walk away from mama and daddy and you cleave to your husband. But suppose you got a low down dirty dog skunk of a husband. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. That'll beat you. Ain't man enough to hit a man, just man enough to hit you. Oh, Lord Jesus, what am I doing, Lord? He said, you're preaching, Jesse. How do you fix that? How about wanting a baby and you can't have one because a doctor said you couldn't because you had endometriosis and your body's scarred, but you're only 18 years old. Or you go to a doctor and they say, you're going to have to do a total hysterectomy and you're 24? But I want a baby. How do you change those things? Ooh, glory to God. Do you see my point? Let me tell you what praise and worship is. It's to prepare you to hear the word of God, not to tickle your ears and make you dance. And ain't nothing wrong with dancing. Ain't nothing wrong with tickled ears. That's not the issue. The issue is it prepares you to open you up to receive. That's why a worship leader is so vitally important in a church. Not an entertainment director. Glory to God. Now, I'm not talking about it. Nothing wrong with entertainment. But when you're in the house of God, you need God to talk to you. So you can walk home with something in your life so you can be blessed and helped. My Lord, you see what I'm saying? So let's deal with this today. Glory to God. That's the prelude of my, the preamble to the Constitution. Praise God. So number one job is Jesus is a high priest. He's a high priest. And what does that mean? I write this down if you're taking notes. He takes our crude petitions and supplications and makes them beautiful to the Father in his name. He takes our crude petitions. Notice that. Crude. I mean, just stupid stuff and worship and makes them beautiful to the Father. Sometimes we pray the wrong prayers. Crude petitions. Jesus will not allow God to hear some of the stuff we pray. That's why it's taking time for you to get answered. Here's a crude petition and supplication. You believe in God for your husband or you believe in God for your son and you say, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. I said, Jesus, you said, Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, save my boy, beat his brains out, break his leg, Lord, blow him, knock him in the head. Do what you gotta do, Jesus, but get him to the altar. The devil hears that. Do you understand that? The devil says, hey, we can beat his brains out. We can blow his eyes out. We can kill him and destroy him and blame God for killing him. And they'll say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. The Lord Jesus cannot present that stupid, crude prayer to God. He don't do that. God is not a killer. Jesus couldn't go to funerals. He messed them up, ladies and gentlemen. You understand what I'm saying? He's there to help your son, not kill your son. He's trying to get your son into the kingdom of God instead of the kingdom of Satan. He's not an abuser. He's a high priest. And he takes that. So when you send that dumb, stupid prayer, Jesus goes, oh, let me fix this thing. Why? So Satan cannot act on your prayer. Write that down. Don't let Satan act on your prayer. You pray according to the word of the living God. So he takes crude petitions in worship and makes them beautiful to the Father. That's what he does. That's his primary job as a high priest. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmity as a high priest. He knows what you're going through. What he wants you to do is go through it. Don't stop. Build a house in Death Valley and canonize the place. But get out of Death Valley. Go to Miracle Valley. You see what I'm saying? He starts, people say, God doesn't know where I'm at. Yes, he does. And the first time you ever repented of your sin is not the first time he heard about it. He's known you before you knew you. You see what I'm saying? That's that high priest. That's what he's doing. He's ministering the holy things of your prayers. He's also separated you from Satan's kingdom. Write that down. That's what he's doing as a high priest. He separates you from Satan's kingdom. Don't give me this hogwash. You couldn't help yourself. You had to commit adultery. No, no, adultery is the kingdom of Satan. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Listen to me. He separated me from Satan's kingdom. Do you know what that means, ladies and gentlemen? It should be very hard for me to sin. Why? Because I'm separated from the kingdom of God. Do you understand? I mean, separate from the kingdom of darkness. And not the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of darkness. When you understand that, Lord Jesus, you ought to have a hard time sinning. But she's such a pretty woman. So? What's wrong with being a pretty? What's wrong with seeing a pretty woman? It's nice to see pretty things. Ain't nothing wrong with that, but you don't have to lust after them. You don't have to think this woman's some sexual object to be conquered. Do you understand what I'm saying? She's a speaking spirit, got a brain, ladies and gentlemen, and probably smarter than you are. You see what I'm saying? Separated from the kingdom, from Satan's kingdom. Now I'm gonna say something, I've said it many times. I really have a hard time sinning. I gotta make myself. I gotta get in the flesh to do it. You know the only time you do cussing is when you get in the flesh? You ever notice that? You can go a whole day, as long as you're not in the flesh, you have a wonderful English language. Or French, or Portuguese, or Spanish, or Chinese, or Japanese. But somebody make you mad, blank, and a blank, blank, a blank, a blank. You fill in the blank. I'm not. You see what I'm saying? So number one, he's touched with the feeling of my infirmity. Lord, I'm having a tough day. I know. I'm here with you. I'm with you. Lord Jesus, but this temptation, I've separated you from that. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to yield. Lord, have I been praying stupid prayers? Yeah. Is that why it's taking so long to get answered? Yeah. I got to fix them and I got to change them. In other words, don't make God's way of praying a bureaucracy. You don't want to slow down God on your answer by praying something that's not according to the word of the living God. See my point? That's how that works. You pray according to the word of God. I don't feel like it. Well, feeling don't mean nothing. Feeling ain't anything doing anything. Feeling is just a blip on the screen. You feel it and you don't. Right? Most of you don't feel like going to work, but you will. Most of y'all didn't feel like coming to church this morning. You could have slept later, couldn't you? I could have. But Kathy told me to prepare. Glory to God. So his primary job, he gets up as a high priest. And a high priest, whoo, is as high as you can get in God's kingdom. And what did he make you in Revelation chapter 1? Kings and priests. Now, if you notice at the crucifixion and resurrection, there was a woman named Mary that came along. Women were very close to Jesus, and now they're trying to make him where he had sexual relationship with Mary Magdalene and all kinds of. See, that's the sin iniquity mind. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you see that. I don't know. I'm amazed that some women are smarter than men, but I'm amazed at how you get sucked in on that sexual thing. You get sucked in on that every time. All a man can see in you, and you kind of smile about it, is your parts. But what happens when your parts get old and sag and fall down and just drag out and all that kind of stuff? Are you still you? Come on, ladies, help me out here. Yeah, you still you. Right? You still you with the same love, same... It doesn't make no difference. You are you. How come now they don't notice you as much? How come they don't make movies on... One movie on Miss Doubtfire. Why is it Miss Doubtfire a centerfold? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Listen to me. See what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with looking nice. Don't misunderstand me. That's not the issue. And being attractive. But you more than that. And Mary Magdalene was more than that for you fools that's trying to make movies about Jesus' relationship with that lady. He cast seven devils out of her. Why don't you do that movie? You want an Exorcist theme? That's a good one. Mary saw him and said, oh, gee, reach for him. He said, don't touch me. Now, why did Jesus say that? Because she'd have messed up redemption completely. Because you see, Jesus was still under the law. You understand? He was fulfilling the law. You could not touch a high priest when he went into the holies of holies. He would have been unclean. He'd had to start all over. But you notice he comes back from planet heaven. He pours his blood out on the holies of holies in heaven and declares man righteous and comes back down. Said, God, I got to go. And the women come and run. They grabbed him. They could touch him now. Why? Because he had made that sacrifice for man, and man had now become the righteousness of God, whether they felt it or not. That's why Mary couldn't touch him. But after they came back, they fell down at his feet. They worshiped him. He ate with people. He'd done everything. Why? Because it had now been finished. That's his high priesthood. That is his primary job. That's a day in the life of Christ. That's what he does. Hallelujah. So when the devil said, you're not much, I said, look higher, boy. So he takes our crude petitions and worship, makes them beautiful to the Father. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. That's the job of a high priest. He has separated man from Satan's kingdom. Glory to God. Now watch this. He has obtained eternal redemption and carried his blood. That's what he did. That's what's happening in that time frame between seeing Mary and then seeing Mary again at the resurrection. Pours that blood on the holies of holies and declares man righteous. Heaven shouts. Angels shout. When will mankind shout? When will mankind take the position that God so graciously has given us? Do you see that? Well, then about 10:30, you know, so many people pray it. Somebody says, I want to meet Jesus. I knew a lot about God, but I did not know God. He puts on his mediator robes. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Back up a little bit. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, what does that mean? What do you mean come boldly? I thought that, isn't that for the Christian? Yes, but that's also for the sinner. But you have to understand, when you have to obtain mercy and find grace, that's his job as a mediator. And what does that mean? He introduces the unsaved person to God. You cannot approach God until you're born again in terms of coming into his presence because you're unclean. And what I mean by that, there's sin upon you. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, charge you more than you want to pay, like they say. You see my point? Well, see, he introduces the lost man to his Father. God is interested in numbers, ladies and gentlemen. That's why he named the whole book called Numbers. But you see, you got to watch the drink of success. It's very intoxicating. Make sure you know how to handle it. Because you see, it can bring pride into your life that you should not have. In other words, what success should do should bring a testimony. A testimony. Look what the Lord has done. You know, I have been attacked ferociously over my life of the blessings that are in my life. I mean, I get letters, emails, and all kinds of junk. They don't like because I have my own plane. You know, it's like one Catholic person told me, don't get mad at me. I'm still christened and confirmed. And when's the last time you preached in a Catholic church? And I'm authorized to do so. So this particular person said, I don't think you ought to have a plane. I said, what religion are you? She says, well, I'm Catholic. I said, your preacher has a plane. She says, what? I said, your minister has a plane. The Pope has a nice plane. He even has a Pope mobile. I don't have a Jesse mobile. What are you mad at me for? Are you mad at me? But he's the Pope. Yeah. I'm a minister of the gospel also. I can bury you and marry you just like the Pope. That's not being crude. That is simply the truth. And I don't mind the Pope having a plane. He deserves a plane. He got a big plane. I might get me a bigger plane. And I may get me a Jesse mobile. I don't know. I don't know what a Jesse mobile is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I don't mind because he needs that for his work. Well, the plane that I have, I need it for my work. Just that simple. Plus, it gives jobs to people. and helps people with a livelihood. So that plane, and that lady, she said, I'm sorry, Brother Jesse. I said, that's all right. Just want to let you know, before you criticize me, look at where you're going to church. Nothing wrong with that. I don't mind the Pope having a plane. I don't mind the Vatican having gold and stained glass. They got a bunch of stained glass. I just got one piece. Maybe I should have put a piece over here and a piece over here. Would that bother you? It shouldn't. Somebody answer the phone. It's probably the Pope. He's probably watching and saying, I agree with you, Jesse. Thanks. Thank you, Jesse. Thank you. I like you, Pope. I pray for you. I pray for you to be healthy. I don't like you being sick. I want you healthy. Glory to God. He's a mediator. What do I mean by mediator? Oh, glory. When you come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, he introduces the unsaved man to God. Ladies and gentlemen, will be 33 years at the time of this preaching. I had a daughter named Jody Renee Duplantis born to me. Now, what happened was, ladies and gentlemen, I'll never forget it. We were by ourselves. None of our family came up because Jody's the only Cajun out of the family born in Texas. I was living in Dallas at that time, and actually she was born in Arlington, Texas. Make a long story short, we were so proud. We were so glad. I looked like a long-haired freaky boy in those days. I had brown hair. I was young, young, young. Jody was born. They said, how could such a pretty baby come out of such an ugly man? I said, you hadn't seen my haircut. Didn't make no difference. I didn't think I was ugly. I never even really cared. It didn't make that much difference. We were so proud of Jody. 6 weeks later, Jody was put on an aircraft, on a jet airliner, and we flew from Dallas, from Love Field, Lord, I'll never forget it, on a plane, with our baby to bring her home so that her grandmothers and grandfathers could meet her. And I never forget when I walked into my mother and father's house, I had Jody in my arms. And I looked and my mama was sitting in a chair. I said, Mama, what you think? What you think, Mama? See, I was introducing her to my family. I was a mediator. What you think? She went, ooh, Jesse, she looked just like you. She's got your eyes. She's got your chin. I said, there's none of Kathy in this girl. This is all me right here. No, no. She had Kathy's hair. Kathy's personality. Yes. Woo! And we were all excited. And we took her over to Kathy's mother, grandma. And Kathy's mother looked and went, ooh, she looks like sunshine. Because Jody would smile. You could see it in her face. I'm the new one. And Kathy's grandmother nicknamed her Sunshine. That's how she got that little nickname, Sunshine. You see, we were so proud. And she looked like us. And Kathy's mother said, she looks so much like Kathy. There's none of Jesse in her. It was a wonderful, wonderful meeting. Well, ladies and gentlemen, on Labor Day weekend 1974, Jerry Jackson, known as the entertainer, who was really Jesse the Planet with long, dark chocolate brown hair, greasy looking guy, a sinner of sinners, was born again. I asked the Lord to come into my life at about 8:45 on a Saturday night, Labor Day weekend, 1974. I became a babe in Christ, and Jesus scooped me up and ran me to the Father to introduce me, this lost boy, to his Father. And he said, Father, Elohim, El Elyon, Jehovah Jireh. What do you think? What do you think? And God said, he looked just like you, Jesus. He don't have none of the devil in him. Somebody shout, somebody. Hey! Woo! Glory to God. And will you be one that will be born again today? It's a day in the life of Christ. There's no devil in him. He's all you, Jesus. Ooh, glory to God. See, he's a mediator for the sinner. So then you can understand St. John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If Jesus is the way, you can't get lost. If Jesus is the truth, you cannot be deceived. If Jesus is the life, the devil can't kill you. Why, you have been introduced at the high court of God Almighty as one of his. So you have obtained mercy and grace in time of your need. That's his second job, introducing the lost person to his Father. What a job. That's why he died for you, so he could do that. Now, you would think that would be enough as a high priest, as a mediator. Is there more? Yeah, after lunch. A day in the life of Christ. He says, oh, Lord, these people are praying. My people pray. And sometimes they pray like children. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 25, he puts on his intercession robes. In Hebrews 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Oh, so after lunch he puts on his intercessory robes. Go with me to Romans chapter 8 real quickly. Romans chapter 8, let's read another scripture to show you his position in Romans 8, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Romans 8, 33. It is God that justifies. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So first, he's a high priest, which is his highest job. Second, he's a mediator, which is introducing that unsaved person to his Father. Then he goes into the intercessory life, or his intercessory position. Why do we need an intercessor? You would think we don't need an intercessor if we could come boldly to the throne of grace. Let me tell you why. Number one, write this down. Because of our unrenewed minds. That person that said God was an abuser, and then he abuses you, that's an unrenewed mind talking. That is an empty head with nothing in it. That's religiously brainwashed and not New Testament taught. That is very close to blasphemy. But thank God, when that was spoken across the world, that Jesus said, oh Lord, I ever live to make intercession for this fool and these fools, which will give the devil an opportunity to beat people and God be blamed for it, to teach them something. That's an unrenewed mind, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible said that you have to be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. What for? What for? What for? That you might know, not believe, but that you might know the perfect, good, and acceptable will of God. That you may know. You're not going through life not knowing. You know. Paul said, I'm not believing. I know in whom I have believed. Say, I know. And when you know something, it's a lot easier than believing something, because it's another level. So the reason why we need an intercessor of our unrenewed mind, we strain our fellowship with the Father because of our ignorance of his will. What is the will of God for you today? For you that are watching by television or internet, what is the will of God? What is the will of God for man? Let's put everybody, mankind, womankind, all in the human. What is the will of God for the human race? What is it, Jesse? You've heard me say it before. The first two chapters in the book of Genesis and the last two chapters in the book of Revelations. That's the will of God for man. That's four chapters. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord God moved upon the waters, and God said, light be. And light was, and God saw the light, that it was good. That's not the sun. The sun wasn't created till a couple of days later. Light is now being expressed in darkness. God creates you out of himself. Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and the last two chapters in the book of Revelation is the will of God for mankind. You ought to read that at least once a week. That's four chapters. Between them four chapters is 1,186 chapters of killing, stealing, and destroying by an arch enemy called Satan. But Jesus, Jesus is coming back. And you know what he's going to do when he come back? He's going to say, look up, bless God, and the dead in Christ going to rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to ever live with the Lord Jesus. Comfort yourself with these words. Now I can hoop it if I want to hoop it. Yeah, Lord, Lord. I can do that. And I like it. Don't misunderstand it. Glory to God. When you're preaching, it ain't easy being white. La, 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 la. Oh, yeah. Woo, glory. Why are you happy, Jesse? I'm not ignorant of the will of God. I don't have an unrenewed mind. I have an intercessor, a mediator, and a high priest. Ladies and gentlemen, I've won. You won. Oh, glory to God Almighty forevermore. See, we strain our fellowship with the Father because the ignorance of our will. You strain your fellowship with your wife when you don't understand her will. She's like a cat. Something ain't right. It's her house. But it's your bullhorns. It's your deer head. I ain't want that in a house of ugly dead things. Stick that in the garage. As soon as you take them bras off the doorknobs, I'll put that deer head in the garage. Don't shout me down. Have you ever seen a man hang up his underwear? No. That go on the floor. But not women. They're going to hang them up anywhere they can. Huh? And don't tell nobody. So there's a little strained fellowship. Why do we need an intercessor? Why, Jesse? Our unrenewed minds and strained fellowship. That's why. But I love the word he ever. Everybody say ever. Ever. It didn't say never. It said ever lives. Ever lives to make intercession. Why? Because not only do you have an unrenewed mind at times and strained fellowship, you got a devil out there accusing you of everything that you haven't even done. That's why he ever lives to make intercession. So number one, he's a high priest. Number two, he's a mediator. And after lunch, he turns into an intercessor. Ah! Then about 3:30, 4 o'clock, here come the devil with all his lies, innuendo, insinuations. So he takes off and puts on his lawyer robes, his final job, a day in the life of Christ. He becomes an advocate, a lawyer. Because when I read to you in Romans 8:33, he is at the right hand of God making intercession. Why? Because 33 says the devil is bringing accusation against you. But go with me to 1 John chapter 2. So we can see these in the scriptures instead of just in my sermon. 1 John chapter 2. Now he is a lawyer, an advocate, an attorney to litigate and adjudicate the case that has been come against you by this ignorant person called Satan. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, We have an advocate. The word advocate means attorney, lawyer, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Did you notice John put his own self in there? Every minister should not preach something that he has not, that he hadn't been a part of. You can't call a man a sinner. I couldn't call you a sinner if I wouldn't have, if I can't tell you that I've sinned. So he said, first he says in chapter 2, verse 1, I unto you that you sin not. Then he says, if any man sin, we have an advocate, the Father Jesus Christ, and he is the perpetuation of our sin. So he's saying he's made mistakes too. You see my point? In other words, you're not a big shot. We're all ever learning to understand this life and what it means. So he's a lawyer. Now what does that mean? You have an attorney. Someone to represent you before the Most High God. Oh, but Brother Jesse, you don't know how bad I am. I've been such a bad man. I've been such a bad woman. Oh, I've done terrible things. Really? That may be true. But Jesus is a propitiation for your sin. Now, just because you have grace don't mean you have to use it. The sin abound, grace abound more, but God forbid. In other words, just because you got something that can help you, you shouldn't have to be using that stuff. I'd rather live in the favor of God than in the grace of God. Because if I'm walking in the grace of God, that means I've messed up and done some wrong things. I'd rather walk in the favor of God. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. See, what does that point mean? As an advocate, write this down. This will help you. No Christian should remain, well, let me just say it like this. No Christian should remain in broken fellowship any longer than it takes to ask for forgiveness. See, how many times you've repented over the same sin? How many times you got to confess it? Do you feel good? That's usually what it is. That wasn't good enough confession. Oh, God. I'm nothing but a low-down, dirty dog. No, I'm a piece of trash. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Beat me, Lord. Beat me, beat me, beat me, beat me. He's going, no. I'm in broken fellowship. Well, if you are, how come you're hearing me talk? Did you get that? No one should remain in broken fellowship any longer than it takes to ask forgiveness. You see, Jesus has never lost a case with anyone that's been honest with him. I was your attorney this week, Patricia. And all I said to you was, never speak of it anymore. What are you talking about? None of your business. But I saw her out there on the parking lot. She mentioned something to me. I said, never speak of it anymore. It's gone. I litigated and adjudicated the case. It was over. Because she was honest. Jesus has never lost a case with anyone that's been honest with him. Well, what happens when the devil stands up and says, great God, El Elyon, this man that you call your son, your child, your daughter, they're this and they're that. You know what the Father says? Jesus stands up and says, I will not allow this. And God the Father says, how do you plead? And you jump and say, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. The blood has set me free. It does not cover my sin. It washes my sin away. There is no evidence in this court of law. And Jesus says, my Father, no evidence, which means case is closed. And God says, case closed. It's over. Instead of plead your case, plead the blood. Jeez, I'm going to buy this tape myself. Glory to God. A day in the life of Christ. Do you see that? My God. See, this is what we need out there. Because you got a devil out there trying to accuse you, hurt you, put you down, make you feel you're not this because of the color of your skin or because you fat or because you ugly or because you pretty. I don't know, whatever that's bothering you. Ah, but whom the Son is set free. Is what? Is what? Is what? Somebody shout somebody if you're free. Hey! Hey! What makes you free? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free, 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 free from the law of sin and death. Oh, Lord. Not only I have a case that I can go to when the devil tries to shut me down, and I go to Romans and I say, look at this devil, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me free. When the devil tries to kill me, I run over to the scripture and says, hey, death and life's in the power of my tongue. This is my document. This is my constitution. This is my rights. I am a free man, and I am free, and I will not be in bondage to anything I've been freed from. Woo! Glory to God. Now that's freedom.
Yes, hallelujah.
Glory to God. All Martin Luther King was doing was, I have a right to eat in this restaurant. I have a right by the Constitution of the United States, by the Declaration of Independence, by Brown versus the Board of Education. I have a right. It's already been documented, recorded. And cannot be broken. But you got to fight for freedom. Why? Because there's always somebody somewhere want to put you in bondage. Do you know when you're in sick, you're in bondage? Do you know that? When you have a priest touch with the feeling of your infirmity, who took your infirmity, so why should you have it? Who bore your sickness, so why should you want it? Oh, but at a funeral, what about when you're hurting bad? Huh? Hurting bad? What do you mean hurting bad? Ho, ho. Hadn't read your declaration, have you? He bore your grief. He carried your sorrow. You should always miss them, but you never grieve for them. And besides, you can't kill a Christian. They come back. They come back. So instead of being full of sorrow, say, this man, this woman will come back. 1 Thessalonians 4. The rapture of the church. Ooh. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up to ever live with the Lord. And he says this last statement. I love it. He says, I'm spitting all over myself here. Good. Glory to God. It says, comfort yourself.
Amen.
Comfort. Look, everybody say comfort.
Comfort.
What, yeah, thank you. What is the Holy Spirit called? It's all over the book. Why should I? People get mad at me, Ron, because I'm a happy preacher. They just want me to be like them. Well, I have comfort. Now people will write me another letter. Who do you think you are? Comfortable. Comfortable. Hey, Pat, I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable. What are you mad at me for? I'm just doing what the scripture says. Even when I'm in trouble, I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
Why? Peace of God, peace from God, peace with God.
Yeah.
Amen. This is a day in the life of Christ.
Amen.
The Lord said, Jesse, you got me pegged. Yeah, I do. And sometimes I say, Lord, throw that robe on real quick. Devil coming at me. Shut him down. We'll walk out the courthouse full of comfort. I just don't struggle with a lot of stuff people struggle with. Why? Comfortable. Ain't talking about money. I know a lot of people with a lot of money not comfortable. I know some people with no money that are very comfortable. I know some people that are debt free but broke. That ain't too good. I know some people that are debt free, got some money. That's me. I like that. I like that. Glory to God. I don't get nervous when Kathy goes to the mall. I don't have to. I ain't bragging on myself. I'm just telling you, man, it's wonderful to be in comfort. Just wonderful to be in comfort. He's the comforter. Now, where do you get the word abuse out of that? Well, you know... Well, you know, God made Isaiah lay down 3 years naked. Don't you know tan fat is prettier than albino fat?
Yes.
I heard Dennis Swanberg say that. I thought that's good. Only thing bad about that, you sit on, you get that little white line across your chest. You know? Why did he do that? That's abuse to you? No. You got it misspelled. That's obedience. Right. See, sometimes people can't seem to get it. So God says, hey, Isaiah, they can't get it. These people are naked and blind. Now, the only way they're going to understand this is if you get naked. Here's another one. My people went a-whoring with other gods. Whoring. That's what God called it. Whoring. Bunch of adulterers. They can't seem to get it. I told them don't commit adultery. I told them to be ye holy for I am holy. All they understand is whores and prostitutes. Okay. I'm going to give them something they can't misunderstand. Hosea. There's a prostitute down there named Gomer. That's bad in itself, isn't it? What's your wife's name, Gomer? Gomer? Is she one of the Pyle sisters? Gomer? Or you can put a little French to it, Gomer. I want you to marry that prostitute. Oh, God. Ah, now that's abuse. No. No. That's obedience. Because you're too stupid. And let me say it again. Too stupid to see the difference. So you're going to blame God and call him an abuser. It's not in that lineup. He don't have that job. Amen. Marry that girl. And you know what she did? She kept a whoring. Think about that. How'd you like to say, where's your wife? Well, you don't want to know. Where's going? Don't ask me another question. And Hosea said, no! And God says, go get her again. Yeah. See, you think she's bad because of what she's done, but you haven't seen the real Gomer. You hadn't seen the heart of that girl. She's being moved by an lost spirit called Satan, making her do those things. That's the devil doing. You know she never sinned by yourself. Do you know that? You ever notice that? You always have a tempter. I mean, you're not going to the store and says, you know, I think I'll commit adultery today. Nah. It don't work that way. I mean, ain't a woman gonna take her clothes off and say, hey, would you like to go to bed? Well, I ain't got nothing else to do. Okay. No, it don't work that way. Come on. That's silliness. You never sin by yourself. You have a tempter. He said, now watch this long suffering and mercy. People would call that abuse. God calls that obedience. Hosea, you are a prophet of God. You ought to understand exactly what I'm doing. And these fools can't see it. Go back and get her. Because what I'll do is wash away every memory and every act of sexual misconduct. And she will be a wife to you. So really, Hosea was God and Gomer was us. Do you see that? But some people are so stupid, they can't see it because they always want, hello, I tell you what, oh, you know, don't criticize my limp. The Lord gave it to me. No, good God almighty, man. What are you going to do when God says, I didn't do that? This is a day in the life of Christ. I'll say this in close. Hope y'all enjoying this. I hope it's giving you some understanding. You know, we need to know these things. I call it biblical education. And some of the worst places to understand the Bible is Bible colleges. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. They give you great homiletics and hermeneutics. You know what homiletics are? Look at my man. Talk to somebody else. I don't know. How about hermeneutics? Philosophy, theology? But they can't give you any of God. Do you know how many ministers that are ministering this Sunday morning that are not even born again today? Who are ordained? And don't even know God? But they can tell you why Simon the Sorcerer did what he did. And they can tell you about the four Gospels. They can tell you about the minor prophets and the major prophets. and the Pentateuch. They can give it to you in Hebrew and Greek. But they don't know God. You ever seen white people trying to become black? It's stupid, isn't it? They can't dance right. Is this true? They don't know how to lean. They walk like this. You know, instead of kind of... They...
You got it, bro. Oh. Yeah.
Trying to be something you're not. I had a black friend of mine. He wanted hair like mine because it's straight. His hair became a forest fire. He liked to burn his head off. But you can get it. You work it. You just got to work at those things. You know, when I married Kathy, I could wear her jeans. What are you laughing at? Can't do that no more. But she keep eating them Krispy Kremes. Listen. Just joking. She said, I kill you, boy. I kill you. Just a joke. She's trying to help me out here. Come on. Hallelujah. I don't care. I told her that the other day. I don't care if you get fat. I don't care if you get skinny. It ain't none of my business. Now, I know men don't like me when I say, but it ain't none of my business. That's her. That still does not change her. That still does not change why I married her. Like I said earlier, what are you going to do when it all falls down, just goes south? So what? You buy a nice suit to cover it up. Put a little bling bling on. Do something so they don't see all the flab. See it? Now, Ron can do that real good. He built good. He got all the machines. Nothing wrong with that. That's called commitment. I don't doubt if you go to Ron Fortune's house, he probably does the same thing every day. He got his workout plan. I don't care if Pia want to do this and Pia want to do that. I got to do this. And then we'll do that. Everybody has their regimen, and there's nothing wrong with that. I know I don't talk to Kathy until she's had at least a half a cup of coffee. She goes, ooh, hey, Jesse. But before she had that coffee, Now, what are y'all laughing at? Y'all do the same thing. Is everybody? Yeah. It's all part of it. She said the sermon was over 20 minutes ago. So, what is a day in Jesus' life like? Well, his greatest job and finest job is that he's a high priest. Oh, God, thank you for that. Then he's a mediator. Then he's an intercessor. And then he's an advocate. But he's never an abuser. He's the King of Kings. He's our God. Stand to your feet. Yes. Did you enjoy it today? Yes. Give Jesus a hand clap for that.